What's up, everybody? Good to see you all come in. Today, we are going to be talking about faith for provision. I told you we are talking about faith today. And I'm going to start off with two Bible verses that I talk about quite often up here. And then we're just going to go from there. We're going to talk about provision in the different areas that God has given to us. Stuff that God has told us to watch over as his children. Welcome to everybody on TikTok. Welcome to people on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, Kick. Good to see you. Welcome in, everybody. We're going to start off in Ephesians chapter 1. Two scriptures I'm going to read, and then we're going to go from there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Grace to you and peace and inner calm, spiritual well-being from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed and worthy of praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. Okay, now I want you to couple that with 2 Peter 1:3. 2 Peter 1:3. And then we're going to go, after that, we're going to go to Hebrews 11. For his divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamically spiritual life and godliness, through true and personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Okay? Now, Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the assurance, the title deed, or the confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. I like how the King James says it very clearly, very plainly. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's not the evidence of things that aren't in God's word. God is not going to bless you with something that he did not provide for, that he did not promise you in his word. Amen. So what I mean by that is that he says he's already given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's already given us everything, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. You look at the word provide, the one that I found, it says that it is to foresee, to see into the future, to plan accordingly, to act based off of basically what you see happening. One pastor talks about love, I believe it was care actually. Care actually means to basically you anticipate somebody's need. So when God sent his only son to die on the cross, he became our care package. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Go to verse 13. I believe it's verse 13. Yeah, verse 13. Yeah, we'll go first. I'll start at verse 7. I like 7. So understand that it is the people who live by faith. Let me read it like this because rather not strain my eyes. So understand that it is the people who live by faith with confidence and power in the goodness of God who are the true sons of Abraham. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, proclaimed the good news of the Savior to Abraham in advance with this promise, saying, "In you shall all nations be blessed." So then those who are people of faith, whether Jew or Gentile, are blessed and favored by God, and declared free from the guilt of sin and its penalty, and placed in right standing with him, along with Abraham the believer. For all who depend on the law, seeking justification and salvation by obedience to the law and the observance of rituals, are under a curse. For it is written, cursed, condemned to destruction, is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law, so as to practice them. Now it is clear that no one is justified, that is, declared free of the guilt of sin and its penalty, and placed in right standing before God by the law. For the righteous, the just, and the upright shall live by faith. But the law does not rest on or require faith. It has nothing to do with faith. But instead, the law says, he who practices them, the things prescribed by the law, shall live by them instead of faith. Christ purchased our freedom and redeemed us from the curse of the law and its condemnation by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might also come to the Gentiles, so that we would all receive the realization of the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. We have the same, first off, I'll explain it like this. So let's go through this a little bit. We are made right with God by faith, not by our works, not by what I do right. We are made right with God because of what we believe. We're made right with God because of our believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. It's as if the government gave you a check. We've all experienced that before, amen. The government gives you a check, and the check, let's just say it's $500, and you need it for your bills. Your bills are $500. Unless I actively go and deposit the check, it is useless to me. Unless I go, I'll use this example even better. If I already have the money in my account, if I already have $500 in my account right now, but I don't use my credit card, and I don't use my credit card to access it, it is useless. Unless I access the money using my debit card or my credit card, the money is useless. It is the same way with faith. Unless you access your blessing from God, it is useless. So that's why you have many people who believe in God and they love God, but they are struggling financially. They're struggling in their mind. They're struggling in their marriage. They're struggling spiritually because they have not received the revelation. Let me fix that a little bit. They have not received the revelation that they don't have to be there. They have not received the revelation or the faith for provision. Revelation and faith are the same thing. Because once you get revelation, which is just being revealed by the Spirit, then it's impossible for you to forget it. I'll tell you, one time the Lord showed me something and I was like, oh, I better get this so I can write this down. But then it was like, no, because it's in my spirit, I'm not going to forget it. When you get revelation on something, you believe it. You know that you got, oh, I got it. It clicks in your head. So a lot of people have this idea. They understand it by their brain and it works out, but they don't actually have a revelation on it. And you can always tell if a person has revelation on something because you see it in their life. That's why I'm a little hesitant to talk about certain things, because I understand that even the Bible says it and I believe it, there has to be something that goes off in your head. And so that's why you have different gifts in the body of Christ. Some people are good at this, some people are good at that. And God has given us those tools so that we can receive what we need from God. Because some people don't have what you're looking for. The reality is, look, I assume you have a pastor. There are things your pastor may not have a revelation on, and then there are things that they do have a revelation on. So I know I can go to my pastor for this thing, and I can go to somebody else for this thing. Does that make sense? But what I'm talking about is that we all have the same access. Excuse me. We all have the same access by faith. We all have the same amount of money spiritually in our account by faith. What I do with that is up to me. Do I choose to believe God? Do I choose to believe that according to his riches and glory, which are in Christ Jesus? And you can tell. That's why you have some Christians in America who are struggling. I don't know how you're struggling in America. It's not judgment, but it all comes down to knowledge. My people are destroyed for what? A lack of knowledge. You got to get the knowledge that now I'm no longer under the law. I'm no longer under the law. What scripture was it? Ah, yes. Acts chapter 19. Excuse me. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. No more coughing. Live and see the goodness of God. Amen. Acts chapter 19. It happened that while Apollos... let me see. Should I read it in the King James? I'll read it in the King James. I'm feeling very poetic today. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, then what baptism, or then where were you baptized? And they said unto him, John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, and that is on Christ Jesus. When they had heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they were baptized, meaning they were saved. How you doing, man? Good to see you. And then it says, when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Amen. Praise God. They spoke with tongues and prophesied. But see, the thing I want you to catch that it says here, that they had not heard about any Holy Ghost. So they had no faith. What does the Bible say? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So you can only receive faith. You can only receive faith by hearing. You can only receive the promises of God first by hearing. Now, go to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to find the scripture real quick because I was talking about it yesterday. And then I can go from that one to you. 2 Corinthians 4:13. 2 Corinthians 4:13. All right, catch this. Yet we have the same spirit of faith as he who had wrote in scripture. I believe, therefore I speak. We also believe, therefore we also speak. Amen. So it's the same principle applies. The Bible says that under right salvation, a man believeth. I believe that under salvation, man believeth. No, let me see. In his heart, a man believeth unto salvation, but he is, you know, becomes righteous by confession. By confession. Amen. So confession is just as important as believing. Real belief will cause you to speak. Think about this for a minute. If I believe that the sky is going to be blue tomorrow, I don't go around telling people, man, the sky's going to be brown. You know, the sky's going to be purple. It's going to be gray. It's going to be green. No, if I believe the sky's going to be blue, I tell people I believe the sky's going to be blue. If I have evidence to back up what I'm saying, I will go around with boldness in my heart saying the sky is going to be blue. And it's the same thing with faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is basically saying, I have the evidence that what I say will come to pass. So when I go to the Word of God, this should not be just a book I read of a museum of things God used to do. It should be me saying, okay, God did it for this man. He'll do it for me. Because God's no respecter of persons. So when I go to Mark 11, he says, I'm going to read it to you because I was just reading it today and it still spoke to me. Mark 11, 22 through 24, he says, Jesus replied, have faith in God. And I assure you, I'll say it from the King James because the King James sounds cooler. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. I want you to put in the comments, shall not doubt in his heart. That what he says, but shall believe that those things that which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So guess what? It comes from believing. You have to believe when you say something. You have to believe it. A lot of people, you know, and a lot of people say, well, I believed and it didn't work. Then you didn't believe. You had hope. How do you know if you believe? Because first off, you can find it in the Word of God. And you know, God don't lie. See, I don't have faith that I have the power to move the mountain. Nowhere in the scripture does it say I'm moving the mountain. I don't have the power to move that mountain. I'm not Hulk. I have the power to speak to the mountain, and then God will back it up because it's in his word to move the mountain. Does that make sense? I don't have the ability to do anything. Let's keep going. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Well, you talking about that name it, claim it. Dang, Skippy. You got it right. Bing, bing. Give him a cookie. Because the Bible says whatsoever things I desire when I pray, if I believe, I will have it. Well, it has to be according to the word. Well, that's the only way you get faith. I only get faith by listening to the word of God. As long as it's based on me, all I have is hope. But when I get a hold of a promise, that's why it's so easy to pray for healing. Because once you realize who you are, that the Holy Ghost that was in Jesus is in me, working through me. Once I understand that Jesus already took the stripes on his back for healing, then I'm not sitting there begging God, God, please, please. I'm sitting here like, thank you, Father. It's already done. So when I go to lay hands on somebody, I command that thing to be done. I command that mountain to be moved because it has to move. It has to move by the word of God. It has to move by the word of God. So faith for provision. There are many different areas of provision. Provision for holiness. Lord, I want to live right. I want to please you. Guess what? He gave you the Holy Spirit. He empowered you with the Holy Spirit to do what he called you to do. Lord, I want to be healthy. Lord, I want to live. I want to be healthy. He's already given you provision. It's called the blood of Jesus. It's called divine life, eternal life. Eternal life is not about a location. It's not about heaven. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of living a godly-like life. And I'm not just talking about money. That's me having dominion over the life God gave me, being a steward. If you say you're a steward and you don't have control over anything in your life, you're lying. Either you're a steward or you're not a steward. Stewards have control because if you don't know where things are, what's going on in your life right now, you are not taking control of the life. You're not taking care of the life God gave you. Well, you know, amen. We just trust that God has everything in his hands. Yes. And he gave you a role to play. Let them have dominion. You have dominion on this planet. Your role is to take control of your life. Amen. So you have a right to speak to those mountains. I will say this, though. I rebuke that. When it comes down to the provision piece, this is what trips more people up. The reason why you may not be seeing provision in your life or God take care of things in your life is, are you in the will of God? Are you living right? Are you doing everything God called you to do? I'm not saying you have to be And I told that cough to leave in Jesus' name. You will see, here's the thing. That cough has not irritated me at all. And it's trying to be a jerk. And I command it to leave in Jesus' name. You know, when it comes down to it, you don't have to know everything that God has called you to do. You just have to know what he told you to do in that moment. You're not going to know what's going to happen 20 years from now, but you have a divine purpose on your life. You have a right to know what you have to do right now. Because if you don't know what you're supposed to do, you don't know where you're supposed to be, you don't know who you're supposed to be aligned with or linked to, then guess what? You will never see provision because you're not where you're supposed to be. Go to 1 Kings chapter 17. Y'all don't know I read that far back. I'm just playing. Trust me, it surprised me too. I ain't gonna lie to you. 1 Kings chapter 17. Verse 17. All right, Elijah the Tishbite. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord your God lives, before I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." I'm going to read it over here because I got light. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook of Cherith, which is east of the Jordan River. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to sustain you." Thank you for the follow, by the way. I appreciate it. Thank you guys for the gifts. It means a lot. See, provision. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he says here, go from here. So here comes God with instructions, his purpose, and where he's supposed to go. Go from here, turn eastward, and hide yourself by the Cherith Brook, which is east of the Jordan River. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to sustain you there with food. So he did, or he went and did in accordance. Hold on. Change my page real quick. Oh, another page. There we go. All right. The word of the Lord, and he went and lived by the Cherith Brook, which is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he would drink from the brook. It happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. And then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, so let's stop there. Notice how, thank you guys again for the gifts. I appreciate it. It means a lot. Amen. Seriously. Notice that when the brook dried up, God immediately had another place for him to go. Watch this. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So God already, as soon as that place dries up, God has another place for you to go. God has divine assignments from people to listen to me. I'm not saying this now. You can be a gospel moocher or a gospel, gospel, what do they call them people? Gospel bum. We'll call it a gospel bum. Praise God. Don't be a gospel bum. I just wish somebody would bless me. Amen. Don't be one of those people that go on Facebook and just post, "Does anybody know where I can get some shoes for my kid? I just want the Lord to provide for me." God is not interested in blessing people like that. He's not. God is interested in people who are going to seek him. God, what am I supposed to do? And he'll make sure that the people are there. He'll make sure. And God has assigned people that wherever you're supposed to go, they'll meet you there and they'll bless you. Check this out. Let's keep going. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to the Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow to bless you or provide for you. So he set out and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks for firewood. He called out to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a jar so that I may drink." As she was going to get it, he called her and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread to your hand, in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour, only a handful of flour. And a little oil in a jar. See, I am gathering a few sticks so that I may go and bake it for me and my son, that we may eat it as our last meal and die." Remember, God already spoke to her. Praise God, man. Thank you so much. Love you. And I didn't say that like sarcastically. I actually meant that. So God had already spoken to her. He already commanded her. He had already said to her to provide for Elijah. God told him that. God don't lie.
Well, I told her. I don't know what she's doing. You know, I was just saying that to get you over there. I didn't think she was actually going to, you know.
No, God already spoke to her. He says, and Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said. Just make me a little bread from it first and bring it out to me. And afterward, you make one for you and your son. Remember, this is her last, y'all. This is her last. So most people get mad at a lot of ministers, and I'm not talking about, you know, this isn't a giving message, but praise God if it is. You know, if it got your name on it, you better obey the voice of the Lord. Amen. But he says, do not fear. Go and do as you've said. Just make me a little bread first. That's a tithe. The tithe is your blessing. Amen. It's supposed to be for your blessing, for your benefit. And afterward, you make one for you and yourself. Do not be one of those people that miss out on your blessing because it don't come the way you think it should.
Well, I just don't see why I got to give my money when the pastor's doing better than me.
It don't matter. God commanded the widow to bless. And the Bible says that when a person does what honors a prophet, he receives a prophet's reward. Amen. But let's keep going. For this is what the Lord God of Israel says. The bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor the shall the jar of oil be empty until that day the Lord sends rain again on the face of the earth. Hola. And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and he and her household ate for what? Many days. Many days. So God provided for her because she obeyed the voice of the Lord. You see that same thing in Philippians chapter 4. When Paul tells the Philippian church, he says, I am full. I'm overflowing. I have enough supplies to last a while now because you guys gave to me. And then it caused him to prophesy over them, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. If it was just, and I, you know, people say the Lord always supplies my needs. I'm not saying he doesn't. But I'm going to ask you this, that there had to have been another level that these people were going to, that Paul had to pronounce a special blessing over them that was already being taken care of. Amen. It happened after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick, and his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, what problem is there between you and me, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to mind and to put my son to death? He said to her, give me your son. Then he took him took him from her arms and carried him up to the upper room where he was living and laid him on his own bed. He called to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, have you brought further tragedy to the widow with whom I am staying by causing her son to die? Then he stretched himself out upon this child three times and called to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, please let this child's life return to him. The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the child returned to him and he revived. So now we're in a different covenant. So now I'm not saying, Lord, did you bring this upon me? Lord, please, 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 please. No, I'm not saying please now. I'm saying thank you, Lord, that it's already done. Everything you need's in the covenant. Faith for holiness is in the covenant so that I can live a life that's pleasing to God. Faith for healing is in the covenant so I can do the purpose. Because let me tell you something. All these people who tell you that, you know, we don't really believe in healing. They've never been to a hospital. They've never seen the pain that sickness causes, okay? And that's how I know it's demonic. I've seen hospital rooms where people didn't know what was going on. I've been in one. My grandma died of cancer when I was 13. I'm not telling you this so I can get sympathy. I want you to know something. And God healed me of this memory. But I want you to know that when you're in that room and that person is dead, and you talk about you got the nerve, you have the gall and the audacity to say that, you know, well, it must have been God's plan. You are crazy. You are crazy. The amount of pain, the amount of money people lose, the amount of time people lose with their family because they have to go to the hospital all the dang time. They got to do all these different things. It's insane. Huh? And you want to sit up here and talk about, oh, you know, the Lord just, you know, no. It won't the Lord, man. Okay. This is the price of sin. But Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. Anything that goes against that core principle that the thief come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they have life more abundantly, is a fool. And I will stand on that every time. I will fight for it. I will go to blows for it. I am willing to bet all the money I will ever make in life and every dollar I've ever made in life, period, that Jesus, one of his missions on this earth was to eradicate sickness from people if they'll just let him. I believe it. I stand on it. And that's me. I approve this message. Praise God. But I'm telling you this, that God has provided. The Bible says he's given us every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. The Bible lets us know that he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. So I'm not going to take no for an answer, because guess what? He's not giving me no for an answer. Go to 1 John real quick. Go to 1 John. I'm going to show you something. Amen. I'm going to show you this. Yeah, 1 John chapter 5 verse 14, and this is the remarkable degree of confidence which we as believers are entitled to having to have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, which is his word, that if we have anything according to his will, that it is consistent with his plan and purpose, he hears us. And if we know for a fact, as indeed we do, if we know for a fact, say that, put that in the comments. If we know for a fact, as indeed we do, amen. If we know for a fact, as indeed we do, that he hears us and listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know this. We also know this, that with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted to us, that we have granted to us the requests which we have asked him. I'm not trying to beg God. I'm not trying to get God to change his mind. His word is already written to me for me. A lot of these people got to twist scripture. You ain't got to twist no scripture. You just got to read the dang book. Faithful provision. You want faithful provision? You want faithful provision? Guess what? Just read the book. I prayed for a girl. I tell y'all this story a lot because this builds my faith every time I talk about it. I prayed for a girl at my job who had a cyst on her ovary. She said she had been feeling pain for years off and on. So I prayed for her and I commanded the tumor to leave, or whatever that thing was, cyst, tumor, bump, lump, grump. I don't know what you call it. And guess what? She came back to me 2 hours later. She said, okay, this is weird. I'm not feeling any pain. I said, do you want me to be surprised? I know who I'm talking to. She said, you must have a special connection with God. I said, no, I just believe what I'm preaching. I just believe in the God that heals and casts out and raises the dead. I just believe him. I just believe him. Huh? Nowhere did you see Jesus reach down and say, hey, you look healthy. Here's some cancer. It's not his will. It's not his will. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe. I want you to put in the comments, I believe. So you have to understand that this faith that we have, that this faith that we have in God is not useful if it's just sitting doing nothing. How do I release this faith? Man, how do I release this faith? I'm gonna tell you. You have to speak. That's it. You have to speak. I'm gonna find something real quick. God uses faith. God uses faith. Believe it or not, he does. It's Romans chapter 12. Let's see what Romans chapter 12 says. Uh, Trying to find it real quick. No, I'll just go to Romans chapter 4 because I thought I found something, but I didn't. I might be thinking of the wrong Bible verse. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Yeah, Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written in Scripture, I have made you a father of many nations in the sight of him who believed, that is, God who gives life to the dead and calls things into being that which do not exist. Let me see what the King James says, because that was convoluted as heck. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. You have that same power. Now, I'm not saying you can speak universes. I'm saying you can speak to situations. Think of it like this. When God spoke into the universe, or spoke the universe into existence, there was nothing. It said that it was just formless, it was void, meaning there was chaos, there was no purpose to it. It made no sense. And God spoke to him and said, let there be. Let there be. Let there be. The real translation, and if you read it in the Aramaic, the Hebrew, it says, light be. Be. He didn't even give it a chance. He just said, be. Be. He spoke to it. That's key right there. He didn't say, let there be light, because that, who's he speaking to? No, he spoke to the light. Hey, light, I command you to be. You've got to speak to that situation. You got to speak to your bank account. You've got to speak. And you say, Father, I command this to be done in Jesus' name. By the power of the Holy Ghost, by the authority of Jesus' name, and by the will of God, I command it to be done. Amen. It's done. And so what do you do after that? You praise God because it's done. I don't beg God. I don't beg him. You beg him if you don't know who you are in him. I don't beg my dad to give me something to drink. First off, because I'm a grown man, I can do it myself. But you get my point. I don't beg my dad to do basic necessities. But my dad wasn't like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about generally when you have well-functioning members of society in your family called parents, you don't have to ask them to do stuff. So when you think of it like that, when you think of God like that, I don't have to beg God to do something that he already wants to do. People talk to God like they talking to a man who just loves seeing people struggle. God does not like seeing people struggle. Well, you know, God made it this way. Actually, no, you didn't. You look at Genesis. When he spoke, he saw that it was good. That means that somewhere along the line, somebody messed it up. It wasn't him. You can read in Genesis chapter 3. Guess who messed it up? Adam and Eve. But the blame falls on Adam because he's the man. Can you say amen? So I'm telling you, believe God. Believe God. Speak it. Speak it, speak it, speak it. Till you see it, see it, see it. I heard another guy say, say it, say it, say it till you see it, see it, see it. That's true. And don't say it like, Lord, didn't you hear me the first time? No, you say, say it, say it, say it. Because as you say it, it gets in your spirit. And it becomes part of your core. I am blessed in the city. I am blessed in the field. I am blessed going in. I am blessed going out. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am holy. His spirit does keep me from stumbling. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for every person. We thank you for every person that's on live right now. We thank you, Lord, that your spirit is here and that he's moving. Holy Spirit, move in the hearts of the people right now. To every person watching on YouTube, Facebook, Kick, Twitch, on TikTok, Lord, we thank you that they're feeling the Holy Spirit right where they're at, changing them from the inside out, giving them a new revelation on faith, a new revelation on who you are and what you've done, and on the gifts you bestowed to us, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're not saved and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, now is the time to do so. You cannot access the promises of God without receiving his son, because those are where the promises are. The Bible says, Jesus says, I am the door. He is the door. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So the only way you can access the blessings of God is by believing. It is by believing that Jesus is Lord, that he died on the cross for your sins. Turn away from sin, repent of sin, that times of refreshing may come from the Holy Spirit, from the presence of the Lord. If that sounds like you, I want you to say this prayer with me and mean it from your heart. Say, Heavenly Father, I admit that I've sinned and I repent. I believe in my heart you raised Jesus from the dead. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord of my life. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life and fill me with the Holy Spirit as you promised you would. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the family of God. I'm very happy that you're here. Do me a favor. I want you to go to our website, destinyyth.com. If you're on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, whatever, you can just click the link that popped up on your chat. It should pop up there. If you're on TikTok, go to destinyyth.com. It should be in my bio. And go click on I Just Got Saved, and that'll help you. That'll help you get started on some materials to help you live the Christian life. Let me know you got saved. Fill out the form. It's real short. It's not a long form, but I appreciate you for filling it out. If you just got saved saying that prayer with us. Our mission for Destiny Youth has always been to reach young people specifically. And we're using the power of the internet to do so. We reached just over 177,000 people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're not stopping. And that was in our first year alone. So that sounds like something you want to be a part of. Consider partnering with us. All the giving information, I'll put it in the chat over here on TikTok. For those of you that are on TikTok, let me see if I can find it real quick. Comment. I'll just put, if you want to give through Cash App, you can do that. There's DY Give for that. I'll just put the website for the giving.com/give. There we go. I'll put that up there. I'll put that there. Yeah, I'll pin it right here. That way you guys can see that. And I don't know if it's going to work. That's all right. I'll just pin this comment up because it, you know, wants to be deep. Praise God. So yeah, I appreciate your guys' giving. You can give through Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, or Zelle. There should be a give command coming up in the chat over there. I appreciate it. So consider partnering with us to preach this gospel and the whole counsel of God to this generation of young people, that they don't be caught in the same snares that the previous generations had, and that they don't fall for the new traps. It's not really new, it's just that it's new to us. But you see depression taking out many young people right now, millions of young people. This generation has more antidepressants than any other generation combined. Because, you know, surprisingly, They don't. What they don't tell you is that one of the side effects of antidepressants is that if you don't take it, the depression actually gets worse. But the joy of the Lord is not just to sustain in hard times. It's to basically break you out of the prison. Because the Bible says that you cannot access the basically you can't access the blessings of your salvation without joy. With joy do we access the waters of our salvation, the wells of our salvation. So if you want to see a change happen in your life, can partner your finances and watch your life exponentially change. I'm telling you this right now, none of the money that I have, that we get from this ministry, goes to me. I don't mess with it. It goes straight into the bank account for this ministry. I don't mess with it. I don't play with that. I made that very clear. So consider partnering. And you won't see, you won't be able to understand the blessing that God has in store. Every soul we saved will be credited to you. And this is good soil. This is good ground. My brother sowed one time. He was the first person to sow into this ministry. And instantly, somebody gave him $50 just randomly. No, well, that's just chance. Nah, brother. Because if he told the story right now, you'd be like, oh, no, he's genuine about it. So partner. It helps us to do what we got to do. And then, you know, God will, I'm telling you, I'm not saying that to just blow smoke. I mean that. So like I said, you can do crypto, destinyyth.com/give. Cash App is DYGive. Venmo's DYGive. PayPal is destinyyth. Praise God. Thank you for your giving. I'm going to pray for you that if you gave, or if you decide to give on replay or later, I'm going to pray for you. Father, we thank you for every person that is giving right now, that has already given. Every person that is fighting on giving, Lord, we thank you that if the Holy Spirit has directed them to give, they will do it and be obedient. We thank you, Lord, that you are our source in everything, that we don't look to anybody else but you, that you cause the ravens to feed us, that you cause the brook to quench our thirst. Lord, we thank you, Father, that you've sent people in our lives to be blessings, and then we vice versa. We thank you, Lord, that you are our El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. We give you praise for it now. I thank you for the provision that's coming in Jesus' name. If you believe it, I want you to type in the comments, amen and amen. Amen. I believe that. It was good. It was good tonight. I believe that. Praise God. We'll be back tomorrow night, Friday. I know I said Tuesday. I'm going to say Tuesday through Friday. We're live streaming every Tuesday through Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I might be back up here tonight, later tonight, probably like midnight, for late night lo-fi. I don't know if I'll be on TikTok because I don't have the, you guys won't be able to hear the music or whatever, but I think we'll be going back to rating lo-fi music. But yeah, so praise God. I love you. Like I said, watch God bless if you decide to give. I'm not telling you that because I need your money. I'm telling you that because God wants to do something for you. I love you, and I'll see you guys next week, tomorrow. All right. Peace.